Hallelujah. 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 I said it before, and I want to preface this time in the Word by saying I believe God wants to distinguish His people with a supernatural peace in this troubled time. Amen. It will mark us. It will distinguish us. It will cause people to come and ask you for the reason of the hope that's in you, because they're going to recognize if you've got peace in a time of trouble, then you have found something that they can't find anywhere in this entire world. You can have a brand new Mercedes, top of the line, with the smell of the new car and the smell of that custom leather interior and the real wood, and not the plastic wood look, but the real genuine on the dash. But if you don't have peace, if you don't have peace, you can't enjoy that. You can't enjoy food without peace. It sit on your stomach and sour, and you're looking at your Rolex to see what time it is for the next meeting you have to get to, amen, and you're popping some kind of antacid because you're all tore up on the inside. The peace of God is something that you can't buy in the marketplace of the world. It only comes from God, and it only comes through Jesus Christ. And it will mark you. It will mark me. It will distinguish me as someone who knows and puts my trust in a God who is a keeping God and a prayer-answering God. But I have to go to Him, and I have to give it to Him, and I have to trust Him with it for this peace to reign in me. But the moment I come to Christ, the Bible said a reconciliation has occurred. We're reconciled to God. And when we have peace with God, amen, there's a sense that God is with us. God is for us. And Paul said, you know, once that's established in your faith and in your life, what more should we say to these things? Every threat, every kind of accusation, persecution, what more? How will we answer all of these things? What more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen? So that peace reigns no matter what happens. There's a piece of the spiritual armor that is underrated, underutilized. And that's why so many Christians that have the shield of faith and even the sword of the Spirit are still being defeated, because the Bible didn't say take the pieces of armor that are you feel are most prominent. It doesn't say take the ones that they harp on most on television. Can you say, man, there are ministries that spend everything is faith. Everything is faith. Faith is important, but the Bible didn't say just let faith do all the work. When it said above all taking the shield of faith in Ephesians 6, it doesn't mean that this sits above every other part of the armor. The actual Greek would read this way. Listen to it carefully. And in addition to all, the rest, take the shield of faith. Amen. Don't take the shield of faith at the expense of all the rest. So sometimes we got to study the Word, not just read over it and make a sermon out of it and throw it out there. Faith doesn't rise above the rest of the armor. That's why Paul said, take ye the whole armor. Every piece of it is vital to victory. Say it with me, vital to victory. So take the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins being girt about with truth. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in addition to that, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, your feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yes, take a Roman soldier. Give him the entire panoply of his armor. But don't give him those hobnail boots that he had to put on to stand and fight. Everybody say stand and fight. See, the whole issue of the armor is having done all, stand. Because if you can't stand, no matter what armament you have, you can't fight. Having done all, stand. Well, which piece of the armor enables you to stand against the wiles of the devil? The shoes. The hobnail boot of the Roman soldier was built so when he stood, he wouldn't get pushed back and he wouldn't get knocked down. He could stand and fight with every other piece of that armor and he could win. Can you say, man? Not only did it talk about stability, that he could stand, but mobility. He could march to the field of battle. A barefooted army ain't going nowhere. Come on, they're not going. You know, Vietnam veteran right here, right? You're not Vietnam? You're a Vietnam veteran. They used to walk in those rice paddies and those jungles and all of that wetness, and they would get something like jungle rot on your feet. And a man that had been trained and equipped to fight now was immobilized because he just flat couldn't stand up. He couldn't walk around. He couldn't do his duty. He couldn't do his job in the military. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. This is an undervalued, underpreached, underappreciated, and therefore underappropriated piece of the armor. Amen. If you don't have peace, you won't use the rest of it. You won't use it. You won't use the word if you're worried all the time. You know what the cares of this life are going to do? The Bible said the cares of this life and other things entering in choke the word and cause it with all of its potential to become unfruitful in your life. Well, what is one of the products or fruit of the word of God? Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if the word is being choked, you can't take the shield of faith. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace in them that make peace. This is warrior peace. This is peace to go to battle with, not to go to sleep with. Even though it will help you sleep at night. I like the story of the missionary that went down into one of the jungles, and he was in a jungle. And they told him, if you go that way, they pointed out the path to a village he wanted to take Bibles to, and they told him, just follow that path and you'll get there. Well, he followed the path for an hour, and he wasn't there. He followed it for another hour, and he wasn't there. The sun began to set, and he wasn't there. He found himself in the darkness, still not at his destination. Couldn't go any further because of the darkness. So he took his backpack off and took out a sleeping, little light sleeping bag that he could zip up. Zipped himself up so the skeeters wouldn't bite him, not so the lions wouldn't eat him. Can you say amen? And so he was real safe from the mosquitoes. But it wasn't the buzzing of the mosquitoes that kept him up. It's the fact that he was in the middle of the jungle in the dead of night, and he was on the ground, and there were predators all over the place that could see him, and he couldn't see them. And he said, every leaf that rustled, he's wide awake. I saw a sign in a dentist's office one time that said, I'm not afraid, I'm just incredibly alert. Can you say? Every twig that broke, he heard it. Amen. He was wide awake, but he said he was exhausted and he felt that fear just gripping him. And a scripture came into his mind. See, he will bring to your remembrance what Christ has said or what God has said. The Holy Spirit, that's part of his job in your life, is to bring to your remembrance what he said. Amen. And a scripture came and said, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is on the job 24/7, praise God, watching over and keeping his covenant people. And he said a peace enveloped him, just enveloped him, heart and mind, that he knew, no matter, listen, God is in control. I'm on business for the King. God has me in his hand, and he's going to take me through this night. And he said, when that peace settled over him, he said to the Lord, you know, Lord, if you're going to be up anyway, I'm going to sleep. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. Lord, if you're going to be up anyway, I'm going to sleep. Peace is so important. So important. Let your loins be girt about with truth. It's vital. The shield of faith is vital. The sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. But there's something crucial to utilizing all this when you stand. You have to stand on the word. You have to stand in your standing. Amen. You're made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to stand on that. Amen. Glory, you have to stand on the truth. We used to say erroneously, because the Bible said that word is forever, ever settled in heaven. God's not going to change his mind about anything he's established. It's forever settled. So God said it. I believe it. That settles it. We need to change it. God said it. That settles it. And when you believe it, come on, it's not settled when you believe it. It's forever settled in heaven, whether you believe it or whether you don't. Your believing it don't make it true. Your unbelief don't make it a lie either. Amen. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word that's forever settled in heaven is going to abide forever. But if we believe it and stand on it, can you say amen? God will move heaven and earth and shake hell to keep his promise to you, his promise to me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So how many know we need our boots on? Combat boots. I mean, when I first started working for Tampa Electric, I didn't have any work shoes. I had some low-cut dress shoes, and they wasn't very dressy anymore. You know, they get crinkled and everything. And my stepdaddy gave me a pair of wore-out, I mean wore-out almost, so thin on the bottom. He was a truck driver, loved cowboy boots. He gave me a pair of cowboy boots too big for me. I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but you take newspaper or something, you stuff that toe. Preferably, you use toilet paper if you love your toes. Can you say, man? Some of you grinning. Some of you bought them shoes on sale. You know that little foot wouldn't go in that big old shoe, but they looked so good, and they were such a good deal. Stacy Adams, half price. Amen. You stuff it in there, and your toes hit up on that compacted toilet paper. So I had the toes stuffed because they come out to a point anyway. And I put on my cowboy boots, and I listen, folks, cowboy boots. And you coming from Plant City, going to work for Tampa Electric in jeans, cowboy boots fit the bill. I went out there, but they put me down in a ditch, and the soles of those things got water every day. And after about a month of working in them cowboy boots, everything come loose, and those things started flapping. Wasn't no problem for me, because I worked on a line crew, and I'd get me some electrical tape, and I had cowboy boots that were brown with black toes. I dressed them up and served a purpose. That flapping part that was come loose, I taped them bad boys up. And I was walking around with that tape on, thanking God. Amen. Thanking the Lord that I had shoes. All God's children got shoes. Can you say amen? Let me tell you something about shoes. Let me tell you something about shoes. Let me tell you something about shoes and feet. Amen. Listen. The children of Israel, they came out, but they wouldn't go in. But God loved them by covenant. Amen. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, and God sustained them till he could raise up a generation with enough faith to cross over Jordan. But he did not forsake them. And one of the supernatural things he did for them, amen, 40 years they walked around in the wilderness, and their shoes didn't wear out. Isn't that incredible? Just a little something to let you know that God can make your shoes last you. So I'm walking around with those boots, and even though I had them taped up here, the holes were coming in the bottom. And I was about to get that foot rot, the sock rot. I don't know what they called it, but it jungle rot on my feet. And there was a young man that had started when I started, and he looked over at my poor old shoes, and he's shaking his head. Amen. The next day when I come in, amen, he had a brand new pair of jump boots, kind of combat type. They're black, but they lace up above your ankle. Brand spanking new. He was just out of the military, and he had them boots sitting in his closet, and he already had him some work boots, and he brought me those brand new jump boots, he called them. Oh, boy, when I saw them, I said, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, chilling got shoes. Amen. I heard that in a song somewhere. Amen. I put those things on. I laced them up, and all day long, I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And guess what? Here's the deal. I didn't have to put nothing in no toe. I didn't have to try to stretch them and scrunch up my toes. They fit me to a T. Amen. When he come out of the army, God saw me out there on that line crew. Amen. Gave him an extra pair of boots, set him in the closet. Amen. Had him get them out and bring them to me. And I rejoiced for 6 months. Those things lasted me for several years. It seemed like I couldn't wear them out. Cochran's. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That good boots, too. Jump boots. That's right. You jump out of an airplane. I could jump down in a hole and dig with my shovel. Glory be to God. Closest thing I got to a paratrooper is digging a ditch for Tampa Electric, jumping in that hole. But I jumped down in. God gave me joy because I wasn't whining or complaining. I was just thanking him to be saved. I'm so glad to be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. But he put the shoes on my feet. Feet to God have a significance. When you carry the good news of Jesus, the Bible said how beautiful upon the sides of the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings and publish what? Peace. And publish peace. And publish peace. And publish peace. Some of you are so worried about the conditions around us that we can't focus on the God that is with us. And we need to quit looking at the things around us and start looking at the angels that surround us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Bible said he would give his angels charge over you. Amen. And they will bear you up in their hands. This is personal deliverance. Can you say amen? Lest you dash your foot upon a stone. Amen. God cares for his own today. Hallelujah. So Philippians 4:9 said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul said, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. We're moving into the Christmas season. They're putting out Halloween stuff and Christmas stuff simultaneously. Because Christmas is going to come quickly. It is the highest retail time of the year. That's when you make or break your income as a retail merchant. It's going to happen over the Christmas season. And there's going to hear a lot of messages on the royal titles of Jesus that are prophetic of him in the Old Testament. And his name, Jesus' name, shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Of all the royal titles given him, one is embraced by more people. When they hear that one stands out because it's the greatest need of fallen man in a faulty body, in a fallen world, and that's peace. You know what the Bible said about the wicked? The Bible said the wicked, regardless of their station in life, all the wealth they accumulate, the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Goes deep. It affects the bottom as deep as it is. The bottom is affected by what's happening above. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. And that's why that America, with all of its opportunities and all of its blessings and benefits, America is one of the greatest consumers of drugs in all the nations of the world. That's why they ship it here as a preference above everywhere else. There's such a demand. One of the drug lords in Colombia, when they had a drug czar that declared war on drugs and wanted to help nations to get rid of it in their nations, one of the drug lords sent a letter to the White House. And you know what he said in the letter? You're declaring a war on us for bringing it to America. What are you doing about the people who are buying it quicker than we can bring it in America? What's wrong in the heart and the soul? It's the pursuit of peace. When you don't have peace, you're troubled. The mind is never at rest. A hitman for the mafia did an expose on his background and life. He wrote a book about it. He said, I had enough money in my pocket. I could buy in the best hotel in New York City or Chicago. I could get a suite of rooms costing $1,000 a night. I could buy the best steak and have it delivered to my room. I could buy the best champagne they had and have it delivered to my room, or liquor. I could find women that would be glad to come to my room for what I could pay them and give them. He said, but I couldn't buy one good night's sleep. I couldn't purchase peace nowhere on this planet. But he found peace when he found forgiveness. He found peace when he met Jesus Christ. He found peace when he got right with God. Hallelujah. And he gave his life to God, his past to God, his future to God, his present to God. And peace began to rule and reign where nothing but trouble had once reigned. We underrate the peace. And many Christians lose it because they don't develop it. We don't put on that part of the armor. And we begin to pursue peace through other means. You have to give it to him. How many have come to Christ as your Savior? The moment you do, a reconciliation takes place. Before you came to Christ, the wrath of God abides on us. Justifiable anger. But God in his love sent a Savior so he could forgive us, so he could be reconciled unto us. To wit, the scriptures declare, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself at the cross. Can you say amen? And when you're reconciled to God, you have peace with God. And when you have peace with God, then you can experience and appropriate the peace of God. Because when you have peace with God, then God promises to come to you, to make his abode with you, to never leave you, and to never forsake you. That no matter where you are or what happens to you, God is with you every moment, every second. He doesn't dwell aloof in his heaven anymore. See, when the veil was rent, not only did you have access to God, God who dwelt behind the curtain, behind the veil said, you can come this far and no further. Amen. But when Jesus said it's accomplished on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom. Can you say amen? And God says you can come. Amen. You can come. The Bible said we have access with confidence. Praise God. Amen. We have access to his presence, access to his person. But not only can we go behind the veil, but God can come from behind the veil. And he can come to you and he can come to me. And they asked Jesus, who people were trying to just get a piece of him everywhere he went, trying to touch him, elbowing the apostles out of the way, how are you going to be personal with us in crowds like this that throng you? How are you going to manifest yourself to us and not the whole world? He said, if any man comes to me and keeps my commandments, my Father, and I will come to him. We'll make our abode with him. Abode isn't where you visit. abode is where you live. As it is written, saith the Lord, I will walk in them and I will move in them and I will be their God and they will be my people. What Jesus did at Calvary means God can come behind the veil and God can live by his Spirit in your heart. There's another holy place where he can call home. Where he can feel at home. Every sanctified heart, God says, I can make my home right there. Can't make it, no building you can build for me. But when the blood of Jesus cleanses you, he said, I can come and indwell you. The God that the Bible said dwells in unapproachable light. A God that angels that minister in his presence. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His glory or train filled the temple. Amen. And I saw the seraphim, the ministering angels. Amen. He said they had three sets of wings. With twain they covered their faces from the glory. With twain they covered their feet. Even angelic supernatural beings had to cover themselves in the presence of such glory. Can you say amen? And with twain they did move about. Praise God. Listen, he saw that. He saw that. This God that dwells in unapproachable light, that even angels had to shield their faces from it. This God that the angels cry, holy, 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 not holy, but a thrice holy God. That every time anyone gets near him, it just rolls out, holy, holy, holy. The blood of Jesus has done something in our heart that this God can come and make himself at home and feel that he's not out of his element because he is now indwelling a holy place. Woo! When I did that at the Baptist church, I thought they were going to jump out of their skin. I just did it in a Pentecostal church and some of you just about jumped out of your skin. If I'd done it at a wrestling match, nobody would even notice. Can you say, man, if I'd have done it, amen, at a football game, no one would even give me a nod. But do it in church, Lord help you. He's one of them. Well, honey, I cannot be nonchalant talking about glory like this. Amen. Hallelujah. I worked for 6.5 years with Tampa Electric. Sometimes we had accidents we did not report. Because most of the time we did something wrong. We did not want an investigation and a reprimand. I didn't do too much wrong because I was the groundman truck driver that set the poles and hung the transformers and hauled stuff up to the linemen. But I remember two linemen. They were working. It was a clear day. It's a beautiful day. And they were up working, and they were getting ready to hang a ground wire to a pole. They had live wires coming in. The line going over on residential is 7,620 volts. I'm going to tell you something. When that gets loose, that is some kind of power. Amen. It's some kind of power. I've seen it come, a line fall and hit the dirt and crystallize the dirt. It's powerful stuff. And these two guys were working, and one of them pushed his bucket, and it was a cold day, and sometimes it does actually get cold here. Amen. It was a cold day, and he pushed for his bucket to go forward, and the hydraulics in it, because it was so cold that morning, they stuck, and he went right over, and they cross-phased those lines. It pushed one line over and touched another. It didn't burn them down, but it had a huge ball of white fire and a sound like, ah! Only about 100 times, maybe, you know, just it'll pierce your ears. And one of them, the only thing that happened, they hit on their hard heads, one of them got their eyebrows singed. They were close enough, it singed their eyebrows. Wow. And they both immediately dropped down in the bucket to get away from, in case, you know, get away from it all. They just dropped down in the bottom of that bucket. You couldn't see nobody up there. we just all waited. And there was a big cloud of smoke. And they're both down in that bucket. We're all just frozen. Are they dead? Are they okay? And we saw two hard hats come up. And two eyes looking. Two sets of eyes looking. And then they stood up and looked at each other and looked down at all of us, and there's a line going down there. He's got his hands on his hips. What did you do? And I'll never forget it because it was so quiet. The one guy in the bucket looked over at the other and he said, "Just act nonchalant." Honey, when something like that has just occurred, you can't be nonchalant. And when something like what Jesus has done at Calvary has occurred, I can't be nonchalant. I can't say it as a matter of fact. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't be monotone anymore. Amen. I can't worry about my diction or my grammar. It excites my soul. My soul soars in the knowledge that what has happened to me has sanctified me to the degree that the God that dwells in unapproachable light that angels have to shield themselves from can come into my heart and live. Who do you think is living in you? Do you think a liver shiver is all the Holy Ghost is? Do you think a few words in an angelic language is the only thing the Holy Ghost is? What? Know ye not that your body is a place where God can come and live spiritually? The temple of the Holy Ghost. Keep it holy. The greatest incentive for holiness is not a preacher hitting you over the head with the do's and the don'ts. It's recognizing the presence of the Holy One that lives in you. Wow. If somebody gave me a white suit, brand new shoes, brand new socks, Rolex watch, diamond ring, I wouldn't want to go out in some mud pond somewhere and waller. Take all that junk to a mud pond and waller. There are trucks people love to take out there. There are trucks I wouldn't take near no mud pond. Amen. They're too pretty. Jesus loved the church. He cleansed it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. And the greatest incentive for holiness is recognized how holy your heart has become when it's cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And when God takes up his residence in that heart and feels at home. And feels at home. We will make our abode. Praise God. That God could feel at home in my heart. I'm not a closet sinner. I'm doing my best to live for the Lord, but I am not that perfect. I am not holy enough for him to live in my human experience. But in my heart that has been cleansed by the blood, God can take up residence. We used to sing it, the Queen of England. You know when she's in her palace? You know what? Her flag flies. When that flag is flying in that palace, then she is in residence there. She's back from her trip. She's back from anywhere she's been. And now she's residing in her rightful place. Amen. We used to sing, "Love is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, for the King is in residence there." Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. How many struggle with your flesh? I do with mine too. Vive la struggle. Amen. It's supposed to happen. It must happen. The flesh war. It's a spiritual law in Romans 7. The flesh and the spirit are in constant conflict. But it doesn't stop God from coming to you and residing with you, because He's not dwelling in your flesh, man. He's dwelling in your heart. Amen. There's a compartment in the inside of you. There is a holy of holies on the inside of you that the blood of Jesus has provided. Listen, you doubt whether you're going to heaven? Listen, it's Christ in you. Not above you or for you, but Jesus Christ in you. That is the hope of glory. Because if the holiest ones of heaven, the very one, listen, gold streets don't make heaven holy. Foundations of precious stones does not make heaven holy. It's God's presence that makes heaven holy. It's the triune God that makes heaven holy. When God comes down on a mountain, it's the mountain has become holy as long as His presence is upon it. Amen? When God comes on a bush, what does He tell Moses? Take off your shoes. You're standing on what kind of ground? What has happened to the ground around that bush? Ah! Sanctified by what? Sanctified by His presence. You're standing on holy ground. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. The Bible said the gift doesn't sanctify the altar, but the altar sanctifies the gift. Offer your body a living sacrifice. God will set you apart. And make you holy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe the Lord is going to do something in His church. Some of you are going to participate and some of you are not. But for those of you that will receive it, God's going to take you into a realm of holiness, not out of just do's and don'ts, but a recognition that this Holy One can live in you, and you want to live an appropriate life because of that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Holiness is to be embraced, not run from and pushed away. You may sit here. I guarantee if you sit here and there's sin, you will be convicted. Don't run from God. Run to Him. Run to Him and say, Lord, I need a cleansing. I need a cleansing. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Can you say, man? I want to hang on to this reality. I want to hang on to this relationship. Hallelujah. He said He wants His church holy. Praise God. Amen. Come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will receive you. Don't touch the unclean thing. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? Does it mean to come out and be self-righteous and not try to love people and interact with them so you can share Christ with them? No, Jesus earned the reputation He eats with publicans and sinners. But He didn't compromise. They didn't lead Him. He led them if they could be led. He never sinned. But He interacted with sinners that He might be able to show. Aren't you glad He went to Zacchaeus' house? Zacchaeus was a Jewish man, money hungry, that he would overtax. You know how they could hire a Jew to tax the Jews under Caesar's Rome and get him to really fill up the coffers and the treasuries of Rome? You know how they could do that? They did it by hiring the greediest man they could find that would sell out his own mama for money. And they found one in Zacchaeus. He's a short little fella. They found one, and they said, and you know what they did? They did it on a percentage basis. They didn't pay him a salary. They gave him a percentage of all he could collect for Caesar. So the more he could collect, the more he could pocket. So he nailed everybody he could. He defrauded a lot of them. He overtaxed them. He put it way above what any reasonable thing would be. And he was getting rich. And everybody hated him and wanted to kill him. But they wouldn't, because he was under the protection of Rome. But he was a sellout. And he was doing this to his own people, kinsmen. One day Jesus is teaching, and he's inquisitive. And he's short, unlike myself. He's short, and he couldn't see over the top of the crowd. And he climbed up in a tree so he could get a better view. And he just sit there and listened to the whole sermon. And when Jesus got through preaching, he said, "Zacchaeus!" And everybody looked at him like, "Oh, he's here. Zacchaeus, come down. I want to come to your house for lunch today." What happened at Zacchaeus' house? Because Jesus interacted with him. That encounter with Jesus Christ changed. You talk about a greedy man that would sell out his own people and take all the heat just to line his pockets. They hated his guts. Amen. He probably hated himself, but he loved money more than anything. That encounter with Jesus was so life-changing. Listen, an encounter with Jesus is supposed to change your values. Can you say amen? If your values haven't changed, you might have joined the church, went down in the water, been baptized, went down in the water a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner. Can you say amen? But if you have a God encounter, your values change. You see things through a different lens, praise God. You're in the world, but you are not of it any longer. When Zacchaeus walked away from that encounter with Jesus, he went to everybody that he had defrauded. And what he had done, he had taken all this money, he had invested it, he had made money off of money that he defrauded from his own people. So he said, "Whatever I took from you, I'm going to give it back to you fourfold." That's a lot. "I'm going to give you four times what I took from you. I'm going to quit being the thief that's stealing from you and become your investment banker." Hallelujah. That put it up and let it draw interest, and now here it is in a lump sum. This greedy man giving everybody back. So this idea of sanctifying means you don't deal with them. You don't talk to them. You never have anything to do with them. Honey, no, you keep yourself unspotted from the world. But you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This holy place, when you have peace with God, it means that you've been reconciled to Him. It means every sin has been forgiven. It means that there's an inner sanctum called your spirit. There's a place in you. We're triune. We're threefold. God is a God that is a Trinity. He is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to make up one God. And you, when He sanctifies you, He said, "The Lord God sanctify you," W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, completely, "that you might be," H-O-L-Y, holy, "spirit, soul, and body." Spirit first, then soul. After your spirit has been renewed and regenerated, the Bible said that you need to be renewed now in the spirit of your mind. And once you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, guess what your body does? What your mind tells it to do. So, in terms of food, your spirit should eat like a king. You should eat, your spirit ought to be fat and fluffy. Saw a sign in one of those nice little shops that has all these nice little things that, you know, to put up on your wall and everything, and it had a picture of a big fuzzy sheep, and it was a ewe, you know, not you, Y-O-U-E-W-E. It was a ewe, a female sheep, and it said "you," E-W-E-S, "ewe's not fat, ewe's just fluffy." I like that. You should eat like a king in your spirit. Eat like a prince when you feed your mind. but eat like a pauper when you feed your body. Paul said, I buffet. He always says, that's how you spell buffet too. I buffet my body. No, I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. It doesn't come willingly. Can you say amen? It doesn't come willingly. It doesn't come willingly. It doesn't come willingly. Too many people are feeding their flesh and wondering why they're losing spiritual battles. Wonder why there's no devotion, no discipline. There's a self-indulgent message out there. You don't have to deny yourself to follow him. That's not what he said. Come and follow Christ and get rich. Come and follow Christ and have everything you ever dreamed. Come. It's indulge yourself by following Christ. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, give up all right to self, cancel self. Yes, yes. And the reason we're afraid to do it, we're afraid we're going to lose something to make us happy and fulfilled. No, you're going to make room for God. Listen to this. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. For what fellowship hath light with darkness and Christ with Belial? As it is written, saith the Lord, I will live in them and I will walk in them, perambulate, I will move about freely in them, live in them, walk in them. I shall be their God and they shall be my people, saith the Lord. Woo! Having, beloved, these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can go out of here and indulge your flesh, or you can go out of here and make room for God. Amen. You're going out of here and indulge your flesh. I'm not talking about them pork chops waiting at the house. Amen. I'm going to do that too. I'm talking about the other stuff that your flesh yearns for. You got to eat. You got to eat to lose weight. You just got to eat the right food, because if you quit eating, your body goes into survival mode. And your metabolism just slows down. Say, they ain't giving me no food to burn. I better hold on to what you had better hold on. Hold on to what you've got. Every fat cell, your body's saying, that mine ain't going to give me no food. I ain't giving up no fat cells. I need them to live on. You got to eat. But your spirit, amen. You know what? Jesus said, my body's bread indeed. Glory, my word is bread indeed. My body's bread indeed. Listen, amen. Listen, I am the true bread that comes down out of heaven. He that eats of this bread, amen, and drinks of this water, he will never hunger. He will never thirst. Can you say amen? Your spirit begins to thrive. I'm in the Pentecostal church today. I don't have to, amen, hold nothing back. Praise God. Amen. Your spirit can soar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what is the incentive for holiness? It's not afraid God's going to smack you. Listen, don't give place to the devil. He'll hurt you. God doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to help you. He don't want to take something from you. He wants to add something to you. When I walk out of here knowing that this God has come from behind the veil, that angels have to shield themselves from, and he's living in my heart, I'm not headed for the mud puddle. Amen. Amen. Some of you lost your peace. You worry yourself sick. It takes all the vitality out of you. You can't stand on the word because you don't have the peace of God reigning in your heart. The word is choked. You hear sermon after sermon. Guess what? You're not growing. You're not maturing. Faith isn't rising up. Satan isn't being cast down. We're just meandering along in a state of self-satisfied delusion. Biggest enemy to revival is not Satan and his minions, or sin and its depravity. It's lukewarm Christians. It's a dead church satisfied with the practice of religion without a real relationship with God. When we walk out into the public arena, no one senses our peace, because we're as troubled about everything as they are. There ought to be a 11th commandment, thou shalt not whine. Amen. Oh yeah, we need it added down at the bottom. Thou shalt not whine. I don't know why in the world they're doing this. Well, I don't either. But quit whining about it. God lives in you. God lives above you. God is with you. God is for you. Give Him praise and give Him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, look what the Democrats are doing. All is lost. No, it isn't. God is on the throne. God said, Lord, have mercy. The Democrats won. I'm out of here. I'm abandoned in America. Can't do anything. People can pray all they want until we get all Republicans in there. Nothing will ever change. Honey, it doesn't matter. Listen, the revival we need, the restoration we need, can only come from God. No political party in and of itself. And you need to vote the right way. Don't get me wrong. But if you think that politics can change this nation, amen, instead of the power of God, amen, you need to get back in church, back in the Bible, back on your face, and back on your knees. Can you say amen? If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. There was a king over Israel named Manasseh. Billy Graham called him the meanest man in the Bible. And he was right. One Bible commentator and scholar said it was like having Hitler for your king. God got a hold of him. God brought him to his knees. God changed him. In the old covenant. And if God can change him, God can change others that we pray for. And God can change you. He might want to make some adjustments on you and me today. He might want a peace to start reigning in our hearts and in our minds, so we can stand, having done all to stand. Glory to God. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. How can you stand fast without your feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Because you got to have peace to sow peace. You can't just tell other people about it. It's got to be more than the bumper sticker. You got to have it, possess it, in order to share it and give it to somebody else. They have to discern it and detect it in order to pay you any attention. Amen? And if they don't, they're just not listening. They're still going to the world marketplace to buy what only Jesus can grant and Jesus can give. And even though Christ has provided it, you have to do, and I have to do. The Bible said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And when you truly give it to Him, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind. That word keep, they used to call great fortresses and impregnable castles. They called it a keep. They called it a keep. It means that there is a fortress. There is a bulwark against fear and worry and doubt and unbelief. And it's keeping your mind, because your mind... There's a commercial that says the mind is a terrible thing to waste. They had to shoot that commercial several times. Because one time the guy, so nervous, simple as it was, forgot his lines. And he said, the mind is a terrible thing. He just stopped right there. And they said, cut, we got to shoot that thing again. Listen, unless it's renewed by the word of God, your mind will reason, logic. It has a tendency to fear and to worry. You don't have to point it in that direction. It's going to just take off and go that way. I remember one night as we closed, we lived in a little 8-wide trailer in Sefner. And I first started for Tampa Electric, dug my own septic tank, dug it by hand, put rocks in the bottom and a big old barrel in it, hooked her up. And that thing was working good when we left. God blessed it not to run over. Terry's got the best septic system anybody could buy. It backs up every now and then just to test their faith. When it comes up, it back up into the whole house. And he's laughing about it. You tell Terry about that. Terry's going to have a word with him. And I brought it up. He's going to have a word with me. So we're going to lay low for a couple of Sundays. But I remember one night I heard a big old pickup truck. The school bus driver was named a Cowboy. He's a big, tall, 6'3" black fella, and he wore a big cowboy hat and wore cowboy boots. Nope. Listen, those bus drivers getting beat up and all this nonsense? No, 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 no. Not on Cowboy's bus. He wrangled cattle, raised bulls. I mean, no, no, no. No, you didn't play that. Cowboy don't play that. No, he don't play that. I'm sorry. Amen. If there's anything on YouTube, it'd be you flying out the door. That's the only thing going to be up on YouTube. Amen. So he didn't have no trouble on his bus. He didn't have to take nobody to the principal. Amen. He didn't have to send no note home. Amen. He didn't have to stop the bus and call nobody down. He just pointed back that way. He just pointed back. When any guy got rowdy, he pointed. Next thing's going to happen, bus going to stop. You're going to be flying out. So you might as well go ahead and calm down now unless you want to walk home after you pick yourself up. Cowboy. He was out in our front yard in the 2 o'clock in the morning. Cowboy is out here. What are he doing in our front yard? 2 o'clock in the morning. Because he had a big prize bull. Had a ring in his nose so they could control him. And that bull had tore down the fence and got loose. And he was back out in them wooded area near where our trailer was. And he was out there with a pickup truck and a rope and another Wrangler guy. And they were looking for that bull. And sure enough, that bull come around the corner. They tried to rope him. And that bull just went through them like nothing. I mean, nothing. He was a big old man. He was big. And that fellow with Cowboy said, what that bull going to do now? Cowboy looked around and said, anything he wants to. He gonna do anything he wants to till we get that rope and that ring in his nose and put some pain in him and slow him down. He gonna do whatever he wants to do. We can't stop him. Let me tell you about your flesh and mine. You know what your flesh is gonna do if you just let it? Anything it wants to. I love ice cream. I love to get it when it's just starting to melt in the container. And I love to start where it's just beginning to get soft. And I can sit down with butter pecan. Come on, I can sit down with me some butter pecan. And listen, I don't read that label. Back in the day, I didn't read no label. I got me some butter pecan. And I start going around it. I'm watching TV, got my butter pecan. They call it comfort food. They don't call it that for nothing. Can you say, man? I'm going round and round and round. And now there's a peak in the middle of hard ice cream, but I'm going round and round. But I'm just eating around the middle. What I'm doing, after a while, I scrape something. You know what I'm scraping? I've hit the bottom of that carton. And by then, there's a narrow middle standing up. Now, the Lord have mercy. I done eat down to the bottom of this. I've eaten half of this half gallon. And then I look at that little narrow thing standing up and I said, hey. Hey, come on. Ain't no need thinking about no calories now. We got another half gallon. Hey, man, a chocolate and vanilla. Pamela can have that. This is butter pecan I got right here. Man, I could eat that whole thing and not blink an eye. You just let your flesh go and see where it goes. What's it going to do, Brother Venable? Anything it wants to. That's why Paul said, I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. Because it's not going to come on its own. But we, when we are spiritually strong and we want to be right with God and we want to obey Christ more than our own self-indulgent flesh, we begin to take some authority. Amen. We begin to take authority. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I still don't eat it out of the carton because I'm not quite that disciplined. But I can put a portion in a bowl and say, when that portion's gone, that's it. Amen. God is so good to us. He loves us so much. He wants to bring us into a place, amen, of blessing where he can bless us and he can use us as it is written. If you will separate yourself unto me, amen, I will live in you and I will walk in you and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. Willingly, voluntarily, amen, of all the filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting, completing holiness in the fear, the reverence. Listen, the fear of the Lord, and it's a whole other sermon, and we're way past time. Whatever the time was to quit, we're past it, I'm sure. Amen. It's a whole other message. But the fear of the Lord, biblically, which is the beginning of wisdom, is deep. It's not this. It's not this. It's not this. Deep reverence with awe and affection. Deep reverence with awe and affection. This God that is so awesome, we want to grab a hold of him and just hold him close. Amen. As awesome as he is, we want his presence. Hallelujah. We don't run from him. We run to him in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I don't know what's going to happen in your life, but the God of peace is with us. And we've never needed him to be that to us any more than living in the last of the last days. When as we approach the great tribulation that's soon coming, men's hearts are already to be troubled. That's why it marks you when you have this peace reigning. You stand out without trying to. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. And looking at the things that are coming. You see, the tribulation, every prophecy cast a shadow. Every event in prophecy cast a foreshadow. A shadow goes before. It manifests, and people are sensing there's a shadow over the world right now. Amen. Distress of nations. With what perplexity, puzzlement, the greatest thinkers, most intelligent, educated people in the world can't resolve all of these issues. Amen. The sea and the waves, what has happened when wickedness rules and reigns and has the primary influence? They're like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace, no peace, no peace, no peace, no peace. But great peace have they which love thy law, which embrace his word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put on your combat boots of peace. And having done all, stand. Glory be to God. Did you get anything out of this service today? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let me tell you something. If you stand on the word, God is going to come through over and over again. And our God is more than enough. We'll just, real quickly, before we go any further. You're here today, and you know the value of that peace. You may have lost it. You may not have it at this moment. But right now, you see the value of it in your life, and you want to pursue it. You want to pursue it. You got somewhere to go spiritually. Amen. You're not stagnant. You're not plateaued out. There's something you want to achieve in your walk with God, and you want that peace to reign and rule in your heart, in your mind. Not be distracted by all that we're going to see and hear around us in these last days. How many want that peace to reign? Thank God. Thank God. When we walk out of here, I believe God's going with us every step of the way, just like He promised. Can you say amen? And somebody is going to have the peace of God enough to stand their ground against the devil and stand on the Word of God and stand up for Jesus. Hallelujah. And God is going to come through for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? Let's go to that church we worshiped with just beginning of this. Charlotte, I said Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina. Central Church of God, I like the way they worship the Lord. And they're making a declaration, and see if you can say this as we go home today. Our God is more than enough. Amen. Hallelujah. He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Let's give Him some praise in this place. Yes, let's give Him praise.
My God, hallelujah. More than enough. He can supply all my needs.
Yes. Somebody give Him praise
Jehovah
in this
Jireh,
place.
Yeah.
Jehovah Jireh.
How many glad you came to church today to hear the Word of God?
Can y'all help us worship the King in this place?
Come on, somebody. My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs.
He is my El Shaddai.
He always looks out for me.
Jehovah Jireh.
He is my God.
Oh, make it a testimony.